This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820. And somebody brought up a really good point. Normally, it would be puck around and find out, but people have suggested perhaps pluck it should around. Be pluck around.
I like it. Yeah.
And find out. Either way.
So you want me just to walk over to people's tables and pluck at their plates?
Hey.
Maybe.
We got about four more days to do this hockey talk, and then we move on.
All right. Since you said that, Mike, let me ask you a question.
Saturday, I know, is game three.
Because I was really mad that the Stars lost yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Was there any part of you, because this is how I reacted for just a second.
Okay.
I was glad that Vegas scored the empty net goal when it was clear we weren't going to score, because I was like, man, screw the Stars. What are we doing today?
I mean, when that puck went in, I obviously turned it off and started getting ready for bed. I think this is the tough thing. I know you asked a different question, but I'm sure a lot of Tolos are with me on this. With the Mavs and the Stars being considered West Coast teams, they are right. Wearing me out sleep-wise.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I can't go to sleep after the game's over. There's way more of an adrenaline rush after the Mavs win than there was after the Stars lost last night. But still, I was engaged enough that it takes me a little bit of time to kind of relax and fall asleep. But I was hoping, you know, I thought maybe they had one more run, but I'll tell you what, when they pulled Ottinger, did they even get, like, maybe they got one
they
good
got,
look?
They got one good look. There was a playoff of Miro that I thought was pretty good.
But there were still, like, a lot of just, I'll give Vegas credit. They do not allow passes to get where they want to go.
Yeah.
They are so
You're
good
right.
at disrupting just passes. Who gives a crap about them shooting the puck on net? We won't even allow them to do that. We're going to make it so difficult for them to pass the puck that we're not even going to allow them to even get a chance to shoot the puck.
Yeah, they're really good, you know, stopping your forecheck from doing what it wants to do, and that's creating a good shot, setting up in their zone. They're like, we're not even going to let you try to set up in our zone. And then on the flip side, you score a goal on them, and you're like, all right, we got this. And they're like, hey, watch this. We're
Real
coming
quick.
Back right
okay.
in your face. That was, to me, Kevin, a massive failure on the Stars' part to allow that to happen. You cleaned your sheet really quickly there, and then you got it dirty just like that. And it looked like the Vegas just said, hey, look, they're focusing right now on their offense. Let's go take advantage of their defense.
You're 100% right. And I made sure to note that. Like, that's going to be important in any game. But two things in particular agitated me about this Stars game. Vegas scored 82 seconds after Dallas scored on the power play. And we talked about it at game one. Vegas flipped the script in terms of special teams efficiency. They were not good on special teams in the regular season. And the Stars were really good. Well, you sure wouldn't have been able to tell that in game one. So here you are, game two, bang. Robertson scores, special teams goal on the power play, feeling good. 82 seconds later, Vegas scores. And that was the trend. I realize the third period, it's an empty net, and it's always going to happen like this. But you realize all three of the Vegas goals were in the last 2 minutes of periods last night. And those are two
they
things.
They flipped it because it was all in the first 2 minutes in the first game, pretty much. We were bing-bonging, and then they immediately ding-donged us.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. That was a very that. Good. Okay. Yeah. That was
Who's
very
ever
good
hitting the button hit ding dong every time they score.
And that's something that we used to talk about last year is the response goal and the late goal. Like, it feels like anytime you score a goal in the first 2 minutes or the last 2 minutes of a period, it's going to be like even a little something extra. I realize the goals all count the same, but it get a little extra pep in your step, either out on the ice for the period or to finish up going into intermission. And the Stars failed at that. Corey, you're right. They failed when Vegas got the immediate response. And now these teams have played five times this year, and the Stars have lost all five times. I realize that the three regular season ones all took place by December. And so you didn't see them the back half of the season. You didn't see them post Tanev or anything like that. But you've played Vegas five times. You've lost to them five times.
And it was another night, too, where it felt like the fans wanted to get into the game, but being tied 1-1, they couldn't feel comfortable enough to, like, to lift, you know, and to yeah. get to that point where they were just like, we're going to make this the loudest arena, and now the Stars going to go on the road and deal with somebody else's crowd.
And that will be a loud arena.
They say, yeah, that's going to be a place that they know what championship hockey's all about. They know that. They know that feeling.
It's just the worst being the one seed and losing.
Yeah.
I get it. Vegas isn't your typical, I guess they're not called an eight seed, a wild card team. But
they're wild card two.
Yeah, it just really stinks that you had the best record in the West and you're probably going to lose. You're either going to get swept or lose in six. Maybe they'll do it like last year. Well, the Vegas will feel sorry for us. They're like, look, we feel sorry for these guys. We beat them every time. Let them win a game or two as long as they don't slam our heads in the ice. And so
they're really nice hockey players.
Yeah, but this is over. I get what Spittle's
so
saying.
You're locked in. It's
Spittle's
over.
Hoping he can keep doing a podcast right now. Like, it's over. Yeah. It's 100%. They're better. There's no doubt in my mind they're better.
I just after here's the thing, my problem, Kevin, and maybe it's two different things.
Is it that this is the team you wanted to play?
No, I didn't want to play this team.
You did.
Maybe it's two different things.
It was
maybe,
the Kings or them? Was that the choice?
Yes. Maybe, and I was very displeased by this.
Maybe
matchup.
Planning. Well, I didn't care who you played. And now the Stars are proving to me that it doesn't matter. Like,
you would think we're going to lose to the Kings?
Don't lose to anybody.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that we're mentally effed in our head. When we see the Vegas Knights and then they do, like, to your point,
yeah.
You score and then they immediately answer, you're like, they're better than us.
Yeah,
guess
what?
Do? They're human, and they're trying their best. But their human brains are also telling them, too, every time we do something positive, they answer.
Yeah, and that's where, like, that mindset of maybe you want to go into it and treat it like it's completely separate series from last year.
Yes.
And you're like, you know what? We're not going to dial everything up to start this series because we're going to ease into it. And Vegas is like, no, we don't ease into anything. We're a good hockey team. And the Stars, I wish would have just like I wish they would have been playing middle of the playoffs hockey already, but they aren't looking like that team right now. They aren't looking like they're prepared, let alone for the physicality, but for the speed of the game.
This is these last several playoff runs from DFW teams are really going to throw off my entire idea. And Reggie, you're going to love this, of momentum going into the playoffs, because the Rangers could not have been going into the playoffs worse, and they won the World Series. The Stars could not have been going into the playoffs better. Andrew, the last month, is playing out of his mind. The team, out of their mind. Yeah. And they're getting smoked
I guess the
in
Mavs,
the series.
They were the best team in the last 20 or 25 games of the regular season in the whole NBA?
Well, then that means they're going to lose based off of new momentum going into the playoffs. So, Reggie, I might be ready to defect over to your side about
I'm going to be honest. I hate saying this. And I don't even know what I'm doing on Saturday night, but I'm probably not watching.
Game didn't start till I think 9.
Yeah, I'm good. They're done.
What?
I'll text you.
It's that late too?
I think so.
Yeah, because it's in Vegas, so you probably have a 7 o'clock start in Vegas. They're not going to want to start that thing at 5 o'clock in Vegas.
Yeah, but they're like, hey, we'll start at 9 o'clock in Dallas. They don't give a crap.
They don't.
I guess.
Do you think if we had won those games, they would change?
No,
because you have
I'm just kidding.
It's also our fault that nobody takes the Stars seriously. So like, that's a big factor is that we don't
talk about the
Stars.
Oh my gosh, is that true?
That's what somebody said, and I LOL'd it.
Like, I will say this: if the Mavs can win the first round and they play Oklahoma City, guess what? We're gonna have some early times.
Yes. We got a central division opponent or a central time zone opponent.
Then Denver and I guess Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
That's freaking Minnesota. They're in our time zone
too. Fun. I will say this, Kevin. The the Mavericks definitely have more of my attention, and I was really hoping for a 9 o'clock game on Friday night. I know that sounds dumb, but I was hoping like it would be a very late game because I would like to get all the kids taken care of and settled.
Because
Adrian's going out of town this weekend. Dad's by himself with all the kids.
Oh.
So like last night was the night where Adrian looked at me, and she was like, look, there's about 6 minutes left in the second period. Do you really want to watch the rest of this? Or give me that wink, you know?
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like,
I did not.
I was like, well, Adrian, well, is it because I winked at you whenever I said that? I'm sorry about that.
That did not help.
I really kind of made you uncomfortable there. I get it. But yeah, that was that moment where I had to make a decision of do I want to be let down by the stars or let down by nothing? Because everything's going to be wonderful and I'm going to go to sleep on time.
Now, this will kind of feel pointless, but I wanted to tell you a positive thing about Chris Tanev. And the NHL.
He's on the team next year.
Yeah. The NHL tweeted this out as well. Joel Hanley was claimed by the Flames on waivers, and he got a text from somebody he had never met before offering up his house for the next 2 months. It was Chris Tanev. And he was like, hey, you're coming here. I got traded. I got a house there. Would you like to stay there? And Hanley took the offer. His wife and son spent the remainder of the season at Tanev's house. And Hanley said it was great, especially because we have a two-year-old to already have the housing situation taken care of.
Yeah, that
so,
is good.
As if you need another reason to root for Chris Tanev, well, there you go.
It won't because they win.
Yeah, that's fair. So you want to go to a Stars team that did win. I was going to throw this out there. Friend of the show, Paul Wirth, Wirth Collecting in Waxahachie. He's having an autograph signing with Brett Hull on Saturday. So
got to have Hull.
That's right. And by the way, if you want to get your kids to go do something and maybe be quiet in the car, from 12 to 1:30 at Wirth Collecting in Waxahachie, Brett Hull is going to be doing autographs and everything like that. Is it because I said the walks?
No, it's because you said and maybe be quiet in the car. Why do you think they're going to be quiet in the car? Like, they're talking to you. They want your attention. They need your attention.
Oh, maybe that's because sometimes we'll give Noah the control of the radio or the phone.
And it's MC Hammer the whole time?
Yeah, or Danny Go or
you
something like that.
Give him...
Not, like, he can have it.
He's turning the knob
no,
to
I'm sorry.
105.3 The Fan.
Yes, I meant in terms of what he wants to listen to, not like he doesn't want to listen to this podcast about whatever. So we
get off my back on reading, Dad. Let me run the remote here.
We love Wirth Collecting. They always contribute great stuff for Peace-a-thon and My Possibilities. So if you're interested in talking about a player that won with the Stars, Brett Hull, Saturday, Wirth Collecting in Waxahachie, 12 to 1:30 if you want to go check out that autograph session.
Who is Hull like on that list for you when it comes to the Stars? Because he was always kind of that hired mercenary that arrived here. He wasn't Madonna. Madonna was our guy. But I know like right now we're looking at Seager and Simeon like, oh, those are our guys. I mean, they won our World Series. They were with us when we were bad. But is Hull that guy for you? Because when I think of Hull, it's always like the family lineage was a big deal there.
See, I think he's one of our guys because we have a shared memory, not only of winning the cup, but I want him to autograph something that says not in the crease or something like that with a little inscription just to really anger the Buffalo fans.
You were up there in at the AAC in the media box with me whenever we saw the picture of his foot clearly in the crease, and we're just like, it's
what
amazing.
Year was that? 99?
1999.
Doesn't that seem like a long time ago?
It was.
That was 25 years ago, Mike.
Yeah, it was a long time.
That was a long time ago.
I did like their jerseys. The kind of star looking jersey. I think
you like the
cool
Stars jerseys that look like a star?
That was 4 years after the Cowboys have even been to the Super Bowl. And they did win. Congratulations, Dallas Cowboys. You won that one.
We did it.
But think about it.
I don't
want how long ago
I don't
the
want
Stars
to think about
cup,
it.
And they've been to how many cups after that? Three?
Kevin, don't you just need to go to break.
Okay.
But
you
the
need
Cowboys
to,
have
know,
been to how many?
Oh,
they
yeah.
Even
okay,
long,
I'm sorry. I was
had
trying
a
to
I can't believe you didn't see this coming the whole time.
I'm sorry. You're
but
right.
But Washington hasn't been to an NFC Championship game. The Cowboys haven't. So I'm going to guess the Washington Capitals also haven't been to a Stanley Cup in a long time, too.
Coming up next on the KNC Masters.
They did.
But we're the 24th best team.
Coming, you're right, Corey. That is.
You should have seen it.
That's on me.
Known.
Puck around and find out.
That is my fault. Coming up next, We will talk with NFL All-Pro
all
turned
right.
MMA promoter turned wrestler, Sean Merriman, right here on 105 Through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820. The doors are open if you want to come see us hang out. But right now, it's NFL All-Pro turned MMA promoter turned perhaps wrestler, Sean Merriman, right here on the fan. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
We're doing great, and I know we got to get to the draft as well as several other things, but TNA Rebellion, you pop up, and all of a sudden, you're in the mix once again on the wrestling scene. What's the story?
Yeah, so I have my multi-sport streaming service, Lights Out Sports, launching in about 2 weeks, and TNA has a they got a channel, right? And as you know, and I think most people know out there, is I've been around the wrestling business for about 12, 13 years now. So that'll always be in my heart, always. And I think we got a nice pop out of the crowd and kind of some raised eyebrows. And that's the point, right? I think we shook things up. So it was fun. TNA's great. And Lights Out Sports will be launching here in the next few weeks. So you guys make sure you check that out on all major TV platforms.
More fun, at least in wrestling, to be a bad guy than to be a nice guy?
Any day of the week. that's why I used to love playing the Raiders so much and walking into that hostile environment. And some of these other great fan bases out there who just have the emotional and attachment and the passion to what goes into what they do, man, because ultimately the fans control everything we do, right? And so anytime you can get them to react, it's always great.
Were you right before Twitter blew up whenever you got drafted? I can't remember, Sean.
Yeah, no fives. I think Twitter came out in 07, okay. 07, 08. So I got the tail end of it. I remember we couldn't tweet like an hour or 15 minutes before meetings or after meetings. We couldn't tweet 2 hours before the game. So there was no live stream in the locker room before and after the game in my day. So
okay, all right. And can you like imagine like these kids back in the day, the way that they will like call out players and stuff, not only on social media but in videos? I think I saw you post something about DK Metcalf and some kids walked up on him and started saying Jalen Ramsey was his daddy. And
oh,
I was just
gosh.
Like, can you imagine like being drafted at this point and seeing Twitter just blow up like that?
No, and that's what I posted, man, and kudos to DK Metcalf because he showed nothing but restraint and was respectful to the kid outside of walking away. And it's just a weird time, man. It's weird time. A lot of these keyboard warriors now are person feeling comfortable enough to disrespect a guy like DK Metcalf. I mean, if I was in high school and DK Metcalf came to the field, first of all, I'm asking for a picture or an autograph or something. And then if he's willing to spend 10 or 15 minutes with me while I ask questions, that is a gift of a lifetime. And it's getting worse. I said him on Twitter. It's getting worse and worse, and I could not imagine having to deal with that as a current player.
Everybody's trying to get clout, Kevin. They're all trying to get clout. So
I guess, but I would also want to be like, holy crap, you're DK Metcalf. How's it going?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I shake your hand or something like that? I just think that would be neat. Now, in the past couple of days, and I'm hoping you can reset for our audience that didn't hear it, you were talking about a couple of different things involving drafting quarterbacks and playing them right away. Everybody knows Caleb Williams is going number one this evening, but what is your take in terms of if the Bears should play him right away or theoretically first-round quarterbacks playing right away?
I never approved of that. I don't like it. You're kind of throwing a guy in the mix without necessarily being ready and saying, hey, get ready and just get ready for live fire. And if you look at some of the most successful, right, some of the most successful quarterbacks who had to sit back at least for 4, 6, or 8 games or whatever it is, that, and mind you, 4 and 6 games in the NFL and being able to catch up to the speed of the game and getting that practice tempo and, getting some snaps and live action and easing your way in it is a lifetime. And, one of the examples I use is Joe Burrow. I believe, because of Joe Burrow being thrown in the mix right away when he came in with no offensive line and no weapons, it accumulated to him getting hurt, And so we don't like to see that. And I get it that they want to get their, number one draft pick on the field, get him, acclimated, get him ready to go. But also for what, right? If these guys are going to be there for 6, 10-plus years, why rush him to on the field if he's not completely ready yet?
To go along with that, the Cowboys, like, they're very heavily in the conversation of offensive linemen. And, you know, Tyler Smith turned out, but it took a year for him to turn into the all-pro guard that he is. What was the biggest, like, difference from the rookie offensive lineman that you went up against? Was it strength? Was it the second move? What was the thing that you were like, I know I can take advantage of this kid?
I'll tell you the difference. I came in, and I don't know if you guys remember Roman Oben, right, who came from the Giants. He came over, I think he was at Philly for a little bit, and then he was left tackle. Roman came in, and Roman was in his 12th or 13th year, bad leg. I mean, he had a rod in his leg, couldn't bend, couldn't get out of his stand, but somehow, some way was blocking me every damn day in practice. I couldn't understand. And so what I realized is these guys are pros. They watch film. And after the third day of training camp, fourth day, I said, Roman, how will you keep, you know, what are you doing? And he said, look, when you put your foot this way, when you lift your head this way, when you're coming off the line of scrimmage this way, this is what I'm doing. And I said, wow, right? Wow. And that's what you get from a vet and a guy that would never be able to see that as a rookie. And that's the difference in the game. That's why I believe the guy shouldn't be on the field too early.
Now, it wasn't surprising to anybody that the Cowboys picked up the fifth-year option on Micah Parsons. And I saw you joking about this on Twitter. You think he's still got a little something left to go ahead and bounce out here with these numbers?
Yeah, I think when my fifth year got picked up, it was $2.75 in a bag of Pringles. So the times are different. But I tell you this, man, he's more than worth it. I hope. I know there's a lot of commotion, a lot of speculation, and his podcasting, him doing other things. But let's not take our eye off the ball here. He's one of the most explosive, if not the most explosive defensive player in football. And you know, there were times last year where he wasn't used correctly, and I'm screaming at the TV that, you know, get him off the line of scrimmage, move him around. Why are you doing that? You know, there was a lot of bat last year, and I hope that Zimmerman comes in this year and figure out the way to make him active and put him everywhere in the field. So I know there's a lot of speculation, man, but he's more deserving of it, and he's deserving of that next big contract.
How important is it for a player, like, we'll just say Micah Parsons, like somebody who is your best defensive player, to also set the best example in terms of practice, in terms of, you know, everything else that goes into being an NFL player?
Well, look, all those other intangibles are nice, right? I think that the most important thing is, does he show up on game day, right? Let's go from there, and then we can kind of add in to being a team leader, being vocal, doing the right things off the field. I add all those things later, but let's say first and foremost, does he show up? And the answer is yes. The second part of that is that you started getting to opinions on what you think a player should be like. And that part opinionated, the guy's not getting in trouble off the field. He's not doing anything to put himself in a bad situation or the organization. You're entitled to your opinion, but your opinion is just that. It's an opinion. Does he show up on game day? And the answer is yes.
Now, you talked about Lights Out 16 coming up Saturday, May 18th. And I know you were excited about that event, but more immediately, how excited are you about the brand new app? I know you mentioned it just a second ago. Can you reset for people who might have missed it? The Lights Out app, when's it coming out and what can it do?
Yeah, so we had a big fight. First of all, we got a big fight in Long Beach, California. We'll be live around 6 p.m. Pacific. But this time, you can get more information on that at lightsoutxf.com. But this time, we're going live on my new multi-sports streaming service that I'm launching in 2 weeks called Lights Out Sports. You'll be on Roku, Samsung, Vizio, LG TV, Philips, you name it, Apple, Android. We'll be there, along with 15 or so plus channels, World Poker Tour and Glory Kickboxing, Top. I think, you know, we're talking the Top Rank right now. We're talking a few other big combat sports leagues. Gosh, man, this has been a fun. iHeart also, Fox, you know, talking to Fox Sports. This has been a something in the making for me for over a year. As you know, the streaming services are constantly changing. And so what I'm doing is aggregating all the sports to one platform, to a Just Sports, all sports platform where you can go and just watch that. So, you know, be on the lookout, Lights Out Sports. You can download it everywhere, and it'll be on every major platform here in the next few weeks. We'll be live for the first time for Lights Out Extreme Fighting as well.
Awesome stuff, man. Appreciate it. As always, love when you jump on with us, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Merriman right here on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, sir.
I'm just kind of curious because my kid is, like, he's becoming an MMA fan. I know you're a big MMA
yes.
fan. When do we get one of these in our neck of the woods so that we can
I mean, we have one with XKO.
Okay.
I don't think they have the streaming service, but, yeah, I mean, several UFC fighters have gone from XKO. We've done, you know, I've been to a bunch of those events out there, so –
Okay.
Check them out.
All right. Sounds good.
Now, can I switch gears just for 1 second? Did you see how close the Sixth Man of the Year vote was in the NBA?
Mm-mm.
No.
So Naz Reid beat Malik Monk. He got 45 first place votes to 43. They had the exact same number of second place votes, the exact same number of third place votes. It was the closest vote in the history
wow.
of Sixth Man of the Year voting. And then
in your face, Roy Tarpley and Antoine Jameson.
How many people
Jameson.
Get to vote? Yeah,
those are our sixth man award winners.
And Tim Hardaway Jr. tied for ninth. Somebody voted him third place.
Remember, like 30 games into the year, Tim Hardaway
yes,
Jr. was the
I
favorite.
I do.
What happened?
He kept shooting.
And whenever he does that,
I mean, he should. He should keep shooting. I'm not telling him to keep shooting, but we know he's not a. He's not a great shooter. He's a streak shooter. He's going to shoot 45% for maybe 2 weeks, and he's going to shoot 5% for a week. And you have to live with those ups and downs with Tim Hardaway Jr.
For the Clippers, Norman Powell finished fourth and sixth man of the year, and Russell Westbrook finished seventh for sixth man of the year. So there you go right there. Coming up next, we're live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820, and it's time for Gridiron Gravy and some NFL draft prop bets. Plus, are we seriously still doing the Zeke thing? We'll do it next
yes,
right here on
let's
the
do it!
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One wide out to the right. Franklin motions back a little bit. Sets up. Give the ball to Bucky. Nope, he kept it. Bo kept it. Throws it. Franklin wide open. Touchdown, Oregon!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. That was a little Bo Nix right there. We're going to talk about the NFL draft as we are live from Pluckers, where the draft party gets going tonight. We'll be at all of the Metroplex Pluckers. Reggie will be at the one we're at in Fort Worth off of 820 tonight. Mike will be in Dallas. Corey will be in Addison. I will be in Allen. And right now, let's say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
So before we start, I'm just going to remind everybody to come to the Pluckers. Uh-huh. We're in Fort Worth right now, so you can come see us right now, which, I mean, it's big time. We've got some big-time Dallas Cowboy fans here. They're ready to draft already.
They're dressed nice.
The beers are flowing like wine here.
Well, hold on. Can't they just flow like beers?
I don't know. That's I've heard.
Why did you look towards me? I'm the last person who would know the answer to that.
But I remember being at a Pluckers about 5 years ago. I was with Gavin for the draft. And you know what I remember about it?
The wings.
I remember Taylor Hearn made his big league debut for the Texas Rangers, and it didn't go so well. He's like in Seattle. So it's weird what I remember about that. I can't remember that year if it was Leighton Vander Esch. I can't remember what draft it was. But I remember, like, can you turn one of these TVs to the Ranger game.
To see Taylor Hearn.
Because Taylor Hearn's starting in Seattle, and I want to watch it.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember about it. But tonight, I won't have that issue because the Rangers play at 1:30 today.
Yeah, that is true.
2 years ago, the Mavs were in the playoffs, and they had a game that night. And I remember everybody was like, hey, can we get most of these TVs turned on to the Mavs game instead of the draft? And I was like, this is wild, but everybody was invested, man.
The Yankees were in town. It was Rangers-Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, man, it's always a good time, though, because they got all the TVs, bro.
Look. I hope you go out to all of the Pluckers. Come see us. If you know a lot about football and the draft, please come to Allen. Because last year, we got pick number one wrong.
You can't go to Allen.
You'll be in Dallas.
You have to be in Dallas.
We got pick one wrong last year. Because it was a great Tolo, and he's an awesome dude. But he goes, nah, I got a feeling they're going to go Stroud. And I'm like, but they're not.
Uh-huh.
They should, but they're not.
Here's the deal. Just look on your phone at Twitter about a minute before the pick is made, and they tell you exactly who it's going to be.
Well,
and get all 32 right.
To be fair, you try and do that. I was in Allen last year, and we did not have great success with that either. It was a weird first round, don't get me wrong, but we didn't have great success with that either.
All right, let's go to the draft. The Patriots have said they have received trade offers, but, quote, nothing too serious yet. We talked about the potentially high price they want for pick number three. Do you think that it's going to shake out? I know quarterback one, two, and three, but do you think it's going to end up going everyone stays at one, two, three, and it goes Bears, Washington, Patriots for Caleb, Jaden, and Drake May?
Yeah, those teams, I think, all need quarterbacks, and I don't think that other teams that don't or that are looking for something else, or even those quarterbacks are willing to give the price that those teams are asking right now.
Whoever drafts Drake May, it's official. You are 4 years away from actually being a competitive football team. Because you're going to have 2 to 3 years of Drake May and go, oh, my God, we've drafted Daniel Jones, Mitch Trubisky. And then you have to wait it out for 2.5 years to go, we stink at this. Then you have to draft a new quarterback, and then you hope that that rookie quarterback's good.
Do you think that the Bears are the best situation to go to as a rookie quarterback right now? Because out of those teams, Kevin, like Dan Quinn still has work to do to build that team. The Patriots still have to build that team.
So, because they were pretty good. I mean, not pretty good. They were not terrible last year.
I agree. I do think it's the Bears. But, this is the but, Detroit's really good right now. And they are signing their players. It matters, you know, how much Jared Goff wants. Because if he wants a Dak Prescott type of contract, he'll screw over that franchise. Yeah. And good for him, he'll get his money, but then you can't win if he's making that much money. Look at here. Then if you go to Green Bay, Jordan Love looking really good. Minnesota, they're off to the side now, so you don't have to worry about them. Washington, I'm just wondering this. I'm throwing this out here. The Cowboys are in football purgatory, and they love being there. And then you look at the Eagles, and I'm not sure where the Eagles are at right now. They're kind of in this weird place, too. The Giants are horrible and going to be horrible.
Yep.
So I'm not saying I think Chicago's better, but you can look at Washington and go, if we get this right, and he's the right guy, and we can build a team around him, we don't have anything in this division that looks scary right now for the next 3 years.
I haven't, well, that's, I'm about to change your mind with this next news item. I haven't seen an update yet today, but Josina Anderson has reported that Ezekiel Elliott, for some reason, is around the Cowboys facility, and they're talking with the potential of the deal working out. I just want to point out, don't clap for that. I just want to point out.
Hey, where are our weaknesses? Name them.
Running back.
No, where else?
Offensive line.
There we go.
You think they're not
signing. What was the last play Zeke ever had in a Dallas Cowboys uniform? What position?
He was the center.
He was the center.
He got run over.
We tried it for one play, and it didn't work. But you give him a whole offseason to prepare to be the Cowboys center?
No.
All right, you know what? I'm more in on that than I am on him being the running back.
Well,
here.
And as I told you last night, Kevin, here's my hope. We just get it done with quickly and move on. All right, if we're going to – I don't care if we actually do it or not, honestly, because it would be a Cowboys move to do it. It would be a Jerry Jones move to do it, to say, hey, I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of spice into this mix on draft time, because an offensive lineman at 24, because we're the 24th best team, is not the splashy play. What's going to get people talking about my team?
Yep.
It's going to be signing Ezekiel Elliott. So let's get him and move on with our lives.
I would like to go to the movie, if I have this correct, The Little Giants. What was one of their best plays of the championship game against the Cowboys? Now, it would be for the Cowboys. Doesn't the center,
the
like, fake snap?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, and the center runs.
Yeah.
So Zeke snaps the ball to the ground, and then he picks it up, and he runs and hopes that nobody realizes he has the ball.
Okay, can I just bring up one point that is particularly agitating about all of this? The Cowboys last year had $5.8 million, I believe, dollars of dead money. This year, the year of 2024, when they might sign him again, they have $6 million of dead money for him already on the cap.
Yeah. Well, let's make that live money.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, let's open it up.
I don't think that is how that works.
Bring it back to life,
yeah,
like Evanescence.
You can't work
folders.
With dead money.
I don't think you just get that money back.
Isn't there a rap song about dead presidents, though?
Yes, mm-hmm. That is a thing. I don't know if that is relevant to this. Corey, if you put five.
Wait, raise your hand here at Pluckers. We do have a 49ers fan. He's probably going to raise his hand really high here. Who wants Zeke Elliott back as a Dallas Cowboy on league minimum contract? 49ers fan, Cowboys fans?
A few Cowboys fans.
So look,
fans.
It's probably 40% Cowboy goodness. Fans want Zeke back on league minimum here.
Did you say he was going to raise his hand real high because he's super tall?
No, because he's a 49ers fan. You don't think the Niners
guy.
Want Zeke Elliott back
yes,
running the ball for 1.3 yards a carry?
Kevin, how do you feel about the methodology of that poll?
I do not think it was scientifically sound.
Hey, there's Twitter, and we go off of those.
That's a good point.
Valid.
Corey, if you bet $500 on Caleb Williams to be the number one pick, you would win
$1.
It is now up to 1 to 500. So if you bet $500 on him, if you bet $500,000 on him.
I would have to be
him,
rich to make money.
You would get $1,000.
I would have to be rich to make any money.
All right, so if you were, let's throw Mark Cuban out there. He might not be able to do this because he's, I don't know what he is, but somewhat of an owner of an NBA team. If he took all of his money, let's just say he took, how much did he just sell the Mavericks for?
So I'll say he has $5 billion.
He took $5 billion to Vegas and he said, I'm betting $5 billion on Caleb Williams to be the number one overall pick because it's pretty much a lock. How much money does he walk out of the casino with?
I believe $10
million. $10 million. I'm taking my $5
billion. Okay.
Can you imagine if something happened wrong, Caleb Williams doesn't make it to the draft somehow, some way, and you just lose. You're now Rocky Balboa in Rocky VI, and now you're having to retrain to be a boxer.
Now
he's going to have to go house to house and start selling coins or whatever he did to start his life
coins?
Off. What did Mark Cuban do? He sold newspapers.
Trash bags.
He sold trash bags.
Not coins.
I don't know
why coins is so much more ridiculous than trash bags.
Yeah.
Here is one GM's breakdown of Caleb Williams. I have read this quote so many times. I'm still not entirely sure what it means. He scares the S out of a lot of NFL teams. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
He's because
I don't know what to do with that.
Prince didn't seem to like humans.
He's difficult to, like, understand. Did you hear that story from Conan about Prince? Have you ever heard this, Kevin?
I don't know.
Maybe this will help you understand.
There's
this
a great
a little
Kevin
more.
Smith story about
so
him,
Conan,
too.
Yeah, that's a. I love that one. But it's similar to this. Conan O'Brien is standing there at Stevie Wonder's birthday party, and he's like, there was a rumor going around that Prince was going to perform with Stevie Wonder. He said, so I'm standing there off the side of the stage, and Prince is just standing next to me. I just turn around. I can feel a presence. He's standing right next to me. And I look at him, and I was like, hey. And he goes, hey. And he goes, I hear there's a rumor that you might be playing tonight with Stevie Wonder. And he goes, no. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he just stands there for a second. And he turns around, and a guitar was just placed on Prince. And he starts playing, and he winks at him and walks out on stage. And he was like, he wanted to be surprised for everybody, even Conan. So that, maybe that helps you out with your.
And Prince didn't show up to the We Are the World situation after the Grammys.
So maybe
that
helps
you out on
the,
Netflix.
Whole,
they really tried to get Prince to be
I
part of
We Are
the World.
I don't think I have seen it. Is it worth
it's,
your
it's
time?
It's decent. I mean, it's not like the groundbreaking,
world.
Awesome thing, but it's pretty good. And then you realize they tried really hard to get Prince and somebody to try to get. And then she felt used because, like, I'm only here because you guys wanted Prince.
Oh,
you guys don't
yeah,
really
yeah.
want
we
me.
We need to do a Prince segment. Is that where
you need to get CA if you're going to do that?
Call CA up now.
He's dead.
But, well,
CA is still
Chris
alive.
Arnold's still alive.
Yeah, I
saw
know.
Him today.
Prince is super, yeah. Prince
I don't want to spread any rumors like that. Chris Arnold is alive and well.
You're talking about Prince.
Yeah. Got
by it. The way, over-under tonight for offensive player selected 21. The record is 19 in the first round.
21 offensive players picked. And tonight, we learned 21 is back for the Dallas Cowboys. And not old Deion Sanders. He can't play anymore.
With his
but Zeke Elliott, how many times were you like, God, I wish we had Zeke on this play last year?
Never.
Well,
literally not one
not
single
time. You're
not a
true Cowboy fan. He's going in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not.
He's going in the Ring of Honor.
That I believe.
What?
By the way, bet.
I mean, he had two good years. That's. God. I think that qualifies. And then after year three, he's like, I'm going to get really fat and get out of shape and hang out in Mexico, even though I have 3 years left on my contract. Then Stephen Jones, 3 years later, is going to bash all the media for saying, hey, you guys all wanted him. Like, nope, we didn't. You weren't listening. Just like watching Micah Parsons get punched in the chest by boxers right now.
By the way, it was the stomach. By the way,
close enough.
The odds are overwhelming that the Cowboys will take an offensive lineman with their first drafted position. 1-2 on your money there. 9-2, they'll take a linebacker. 11-2, a defensive lineman or an edge. So, overwhelmingly, Vegas thinks that the Cowboys will take a offensive lineman with their first pick.
But can you bet on second or third pick overall for Cowboys yet, or does that come out tomorrow? Like after
I haven't seen
over?
Numbers for it. I'll look into that because then you want to bet.
Well, I wonder
whatever.
Those aren't bad odds. They're taking an offensive lineman.
Yes.
Like it's locked in.
Yes.
The Cowboys have a board of only offensive linemen. Then after the first round or their first pick is over, then they'll move on
running
to
back, linebacker.
Yeah, and either one. Now that'll be a little bit more difficult because you're 50-50 on those picks. But
right.
You know, in the second and third. That's what they're taking.
Now, we're going to give an opportunity to the people. It's NFL draft day. What player or trade will the Cowboys get going at pick number 24? Let's talk about it next, live from Pluckers in Fort Worth, off 820 on 105 through the Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.